This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by FarmPaint.com.
Exaggerator, down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Vanquish is coming out of it second. And then Stradivari, followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes.
It's Gone Runner. Gone Runner with Laurent Giroux. Clear to the finish in the Louisiana Derby. Gone Runner wins Going Away.
Also sponsored by Adina Springs, Airdrie Stud, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainsway, Gulfstream Park, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, Kirkwood Stables, Lane's End, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, the New York Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, RacehorseDraft.com, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Sunrise Stallions, Tony's of Lexington, the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
And Moore Spirit is progressing very nicely under Gary Stevens as he takes care of business with plenty left in the tank.
Creator of sudden breaking news. Creator's almost there. It's Ricardo Santana Jr. It's Creator to win the Arkansas Derby.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch. No Pontiff of the Pick Four today. He is on a mission for us. He is representing the Horse Racing Radio Network Nation, HRN Nation, down in Atlanta at a Barbados conference. Yeah, you heard me. He figured if he couldn't get to Barbados, he would go to a conference in Atlanta. He will be back with me. Well, no, he won't. He won't be back with me next week either as I go to Penn. The Pontiff has another obligation next weekend. You'll hear from him at the Belmont Stakes, which is only 14 days, 10 hours, and 27 minutes away. That final jewel of the Triple Crown coming your way exclusively on the Horse Racing Radio Network in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One, just as the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness Stakes did. And so many people tuning into those broadcasts around the world, and we want to thank you for that. We want to thank everybody at Pimlico for all of their help and support last weekend. It was a great race. No Triple Crown this year, so we have gone 1 year in the sport of thoroughbred racing without a Triple Crown winner. Not going to happen this year. Maybe next year will be the year as Nyquist ends up finishing a very game third at Old Hilltop last weekend. Want to welcome everybody tuning in coast to coast and worldwide on SiriusXM Channel 93. And for everybody tuning in on our website, horseracingradio.net, welcome to the Equine Forum presented by FarmPaint.com. Now, just because the Pontiff isn't here doesn't mean I'm alone this morning. So many people that have tuned into this program over the past decade know the voice of Billy White, who is the man of Jimmy John's fame, one of the franchisees involved with the Jimmy John's here in the Lexington, Kentucky area. They've been a supporter of this particular program for a very, very long time, almost since the beginning. And they are embarking upon a new endeavor here in Lexington, Kentucky. It is Uncle Matteo's Pizza Joint, which is on Euclid Avenue and Marquee, right next to the Kroger here in Lexington. Brand new event and a brand new place, and happy to be broadcasting from Uncle Matteo's for the first time. Billy White, thanks for having me, man.
Oh, good morning, Baron. Thanks for being here. We got to start working on a breakfast pizza, I think, at this time of day. Glad to have you, and big shoes to fill for the Pontiff, no pun intended, but I'll do my best. Glad you're here. And
literally and figuratively.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And do my best to fill in for him, and looking forward to a couple hours talking horses and talking pizza, talking Jimmy John's, and it's a good day for it.
We're going to spend time looking back on the Preakness Stakes. We're going to do it with track announcer Dave Rodman, who is the voice of Maryland Racing. He's going to join us in the first half of the program right around 8:35 Eastern time. In the second half, we're going to spend some time talking with our man, Eric Barland from Tito's Handmade Vodka. You won't want to miss that. Eric, very knowledgeable about the horse racing game, and he's going to look back on the Preakness, look back on what we saw throughout the Triple Crown, maybe look ahead to the Belmont with us, and he'll talk about Tito's involvement in the Breeders' Cup. They've been a big supporter of the Breeders' Cup for the past several years. Eric will talk to us about that. Going to talk to Tracy Egan, the executive director of the New York State Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund, right around 9:30 Eastern as they get set for a big New York Bred Day coming up on Monday at Belmont Park. And to help us break all those races down, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, is going to be with us at 9:44 Eastern. So there's a lot of things to get to over the course of the next couple of hours. But, Billy, let's spend a moment or two talking about Uncle Matty's, because
absolutely,
I mentioned that is our venue for the broadcast this morning.
Good
I'm sitting
start.
Here looking at your menu, by the way, and you can create your own pizza. This is a different type of a pizza place. You don't have to wait 20 minutes to get your pizza when you come into Uncle Matty's.
No, not at all. Out of the oven, six and a half minutes max, probably total ticket time, 7 or 8 minutes, and that's really important to people nowadays. But the fact of the matter is you get to pick. We have 47 different toppings. You get to walk down the line with the pizza maker, pick your crust, pick your sauce, six of them that we make every day here from scratch.
What do you mean pick your crust?
Well, we have wheat, whole wheat, regular, and also gluten-free. Gluten-free is very important for people now. So you can pick what you want there, and we can make it in a contamination-free area if you need that. So as I've said a million times, I've never met a gluten that I didn't like. So that's not important. It's not what I look for, but it's very important to a lot of our guests and customers who come in here. Then you walk down with the pizza maker, and I think the key is not only is it fast, which is very important. Fast casual is a big part of this pizza business now, but it's fresh. We make, and that's why we got involved with them. We do the same thing as we do at the Jimmy John's, where you prep everything every morning, from the make the tuna salad to cut all the meats, and we do the same thing here. Marinate, grill the chicken. Marinate, grill the Angus steak for the steak and blue. Grill the portobello mushrooms in the oven.
Oh, wow.
Make chili from scratch, and I'm not making this up. This is Matty's family recipe, and it is phenomenal. But we make it every day, and same with the soups, whether it's tomato bisque made from scratch, finished with goat cheese and balsamic reduction. To the roasted peppers. We roast the red peppers right here. So it's an incredible concept, and the food is phenomenal, and the response has been that. The food is phenomenal.
Yeah, and you haven't been open all that long.
Yeah, end of February.
Yeah.
End of February here in Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
Great neighborhood, great people, and got a couple big garage doors that open up to the outside patio. We call it the Matty's patio. I am in charge of marketing.
The marketing guy. Now, that should be hopping this weekend, right? I know it's Memorial Day weekend, but that patio area should really, with the weather and
last
the way
night was a
now,
big night.
Yeah.
Had a great crowd last night. And then Sunday night, we're going to have, we've been having some live guitarists
bands.
And bands out here, just mostly unplugged, but we have Ben Lacey, who's been voted, I mean, he's phenomenal.
Yeah,
the guy's incredible. Yeah, best guitarist in Lexington. He'll be here Sunday, this coming Sunday from 6 to 9. The Matty's patio will be rocking. We'll have beer specials, $2 pints if you get an individual pizza, and $5 pitchers. And if you get an XL, so I think, and last time it got silly and got fun. It was a great Friday, and he brings a good crowd, and families come. He's got his own people that come. We have our friends that are all coming, so it should be a big night. We'll hope everybody comes down. Bring the kids, bring your stroller, bring your dog, and we're dog friendly. And outside should be a good place this weekend.
Yeah, that's outstanding. And you know, that's one of the things that I love about, you know, look, I mentioned Jimmy John's being involved with this program for a long time. You and I have known each other for more than a decade now through that relationship. And one of the things I love is that when you do walk in to a Jimmy John's, the first thing is that they're going to greet you the minute you walk in the door, right? That happens at every Jimmy John's. And then it's quick. You can get your sandwich. They're going to make
sure
it fast.
Is.
It's freaky fast, right?
Right,
well,
right.
When you come into Uncle Matty's, we mentioned that response time and how it only takes, what, 6.5 minutes to
the
get
throughput,
the pizza through
they call
the
it.
Oven.
Yep.
Yeah, but the choices that you have here, I can't think of a topping on this menu right now that I'm looking at that you missed.
Yeah, I know. I think you're right. Almost to the nth degree.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
right.
And then when you walk into Jimmy John's, you get the turkey tom, you get the bootlegger, all these different choices of deluxe sandwiches that you can choose. Same thing here. You have your signature pizzas where you mentioned steak and blue, which is grilled steak, mozzarella, blue cheese, Roma tomatoes, spinach. I got to stop because I'm getting hungry.
Yes. I remember you had two of those on our grand opening day, I think. So
I think I did.
You still owe me for those two. You never paid your tab.
Wait, it was free pizza. Oh, it was one free pizza.
Yeah, it was, not four. Not four. You know what? It's funny, but we have a lot of these signature pizzas, and you just don't see that anywhere else. You can go. These signature pizzas are phenomenal.
They really are.
It's incredible. Whether we make the Jamaican jerk chicken here every day, certain recipe with the spices that we coat and marinate and grill every day. The chicken, we have three or four different kinds of chicken. The marinated chicken breast for the salads are different than the fajita chicken or the grilled chicken for the pizzas. So it's a great concept. And a little bit different than I can make you a turkey tom in about 18 seconds.
Right.
The pizzas, it takes a little bit longer, but it's worth the 6 minutes.
We have to cook it.
Yeah, you have to cook it, yeah. It has to go through the conveyor system, right.
I heard our man Steve Castagnola of Brody's Cause fame is a huge fan of Uncle Matty's.
He's a regular. He's got his own table. It's like the old Italian places in Little Italy. But he brings his daughters and his daughters, I think, two yeah. daughters, and their friends, and they have sleepovers, but they're always walking down the sidewalk coming to see us, and he was just in the other day, still not touching the ground from Brody's Cause and the nice run he had at the Bluegrass Stakes and yep. the Kentucky Derby. I think they're running back in the Belmont. I talked to Steve. He was in here just the other night with a bunch of people, and I thank him for that.
Well, I think the reason that so many of our listeners over the past 10 years have supported Jimmy John's is because of the fact that you and the entire team that's involved with that franchise here in Lexington are horse racing people. You've been involved on the ownership side.
Yep.
You're out at Keeneland. Any chance that you possibly get to be at Keeneland?
Doing marketing work.
Doing marketing work. At the windows.
And I broke it. My wife is listening. I broke even, honey.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're horse racing people, and I think that's the thing. People in the horse industry like to support those that support racing, and that's why that relationship with Jimmy John's has worked so well here in Lexington, and I expect the same thing with a place here like Uncle Matty's.
I think so. I couldn't agree more. I think you find that in this community. You find that in the Chevy Chase area. You find that in Lexington. You find that as a whole. You find that in the university community also. And I'm looking forward to the fall. I think you and I are going to put our heads together with fundraising ideas, whether it's disabled jockey
yeah.
fund, right?
Yep. PDJF,
or
yeah.
yeah. And I think that permanently, yeah, that's going to be important, and that's important for us. We just sponsored the Bluegrass Tour of Kitchens.
Yeah.
Bluegrass Kitchen Tour, and that's benefited the Child Development Center of the Bluegrass, and we want to be part of that. We want to give back, and I think whether it's a Wounded Warrior Project, my father's a Korean War
yep.
veteran and a Purple Heart Marine, and it's Memorial Day weekend. Shout out to all the service men and women.
Absolutely. A huge
thank them for their service. Makes our lives safe and simple.
Yep.
Yeah. I can open a pizza joint because of people like my father and others in the military.
All right, he's Billy White. I'm Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch. We're going to continue to talk some horse racing when we come back. Actually, we're going to start talking some horse racing. But if you do get the opportunity, if you're in Lexington, if you're coming here for any of the horse sales, if you're coming here for Keeneland, whatever it might be, make sure you stop by here when you're in town. You won't want to miss it. If you live here, make it a regular stop because it is really affordable and the food is sensational. It's Uncle Matty's Pizza. We are right here live for the next 2 hours. It is on Euclid and Marquee right next to the Kroger. Make sure you come down and check it out. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back and we'll spend some time talking about the Preakness Stakes and that victory by Exaggerator. It's next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Adina Spring Stallion Point of Entry, a five-time Grade 1 winner viewed by many to be the heir to Dyna Former's global legacy, with first crop weanlings already realizing six-figure sums at both Keeneland and Tattersall's in Newmarket. As a racehorse, Point of Entry was a truly great American turf horse, becoming the first since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths. A Hall of Fame ride it was. Point of Entry wins the Sword Dancer, and they're coming down to the finish. And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
Point of Entry returned the following year to win the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Turf and Grade 1 Manhattan, and also displayed the ability and the pedigree to perform at the highest level on dirt. Point of Entry, standing at Adena Springs in Paris, Kentucky. Visit AdenaStallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
A multiple graded stakes winner and earner of more than $1 million. AlterNation reeled off four consecutive stakes victories.
AlterNation just far too much class for this field.
AlterNation running a powerful race here.
Cannot match stride with AlterNation.
And it's a photo AlterNation.
Great breeding from a family of successful sires, grand appearance, and brilliance on the racetrack. AlterNation at Pin Oak Stud.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit NicholsonInsurance.com. You gotta know Joe.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And they're into the stretch, and it's Nyquist in front, his adversary Exaggerator, got a jump on him, and he's gone by to take the lead as they come to the eighth pole. It is Exaggerator in front. Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming at him in second. And then Stradivari followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes. It was very close for a second. Nyquist and Cherry Wine were right together. And then it was Loud on the outside. Lonnie followed by Stradivari. And the final time was 1 minute 58.31 seconds. It was Exaggerator's day today.
Larry Colmus with the call of Exaggerator winning the middle jewel of horse racing's Triple Crown last Saturday. That was the Preakness Stakes. It was a race you heard right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network in partnership with our friends at NBC Sports and Westwood One. 14 days from today, we'll head to Belmont Park, and we'll bring you that coverage on the network as well. Make sure you join us on Saturday, June 11th. You can learn more by going to our website, horseracingradio.net. Mike Penna, live from Uncle Matteo's Pizza Joint, right up until 10 o'clock Eastern time here on the Equine Forum, joined by my man, Billy White, who is sitting in for the pontiff of the pick for
present.
Jude Feld.
I'm here.
You have made it. You have made it. Good to have you on board.
Oh, man. Great to be here.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
We have a poll question today.
Oh, boy.
Okay. And I forgot to do it in the first segment, so let's go ahead and throw it out there now. You can go to our Twitter feed, at HRN on Twitter. The poll question is this. Because of Nyquist being defeated last week, we won't have a chance for a Triple Crown in 2 weeks. So how long will it be until we see another Triple Crown winner in the sport of thoroughbred racing? And you have three different options that you can choose from, but we want to hear from you. We want to see if you're an optimist or a pessimist on this Memorial Day weekend. Is the glass half full? Are we going to see one in the next couple of years? Or is the glass half empty to you? Is it going to be another 20-some-odd years before we see another Triple Crown winner? You can do that at HRN on Twitter.
That's a great question. I think they had the same question in 1908 after the Cubs won the World Series in 1907.
And if you picked under 5 years, you lose.
Exactly. Now, not counting this year, because we're all back on the bandwagon. It's been a phenomenal year to watch my Cubbies. Which
are
I
they
hope
in
we,
first place?
I hope we have a 30 or 40 minute segment of that coming today. Yeah, on the best
right after
baseball.
Our half hour discussion of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, come
yeah.
on! No Steelers. Give me at least a couple months to enjoy this. So
the Cubs are in first place.
They are by quite a bit. Yeah, they sure are. Wow. And the White Sox have the second best record in baseball right now. So. Very interesting. It's. I just took my son Andrew up to a Cubs game a couple Sundays ago, and it is the energy, and it always is. It, as they say about Wrigley, you go to a party and a baseball game broke out. So it's been a great ride, and it's been a long time for the Cubs, but they like their GM, the guy they got from Boston, and the Ricketts family has done a great job with Wrigley Field and the area around the stadium, so it's fun to it's a great time to be a Cubs fan, that's for sure.
So what do you think about the poll question? Do you think we're going to see one in the next, say, 5 years, or do you think it's going to be a longer time period before we see another Triple Crown?
You know,
it's a hard question.
It is.
You're breaking out a crystal ball.
And the fact of the matter is, that I think it's going to be a while. I think it's going to be a long while. If you look back at the last few years, and I did recently as we got ready for this broadcast. With the exception of American Pharoah, who's a freak and just really ran an incredible race in the Belmont to win the Triple Crown. If you look back in the previous years, they're just, you know, the Derby winners or the Preakness winner or the Derby Preakness winner is really just a good horse, tough horse, finishing in the top part of the field, but just struggled in the Belmont and struggled to bring home the Triple Crown. I just don't. And I also, first thing that popped up on YouTube was the Secretariat's Belmont. So then everything else was, yeah, like, well, we're no good. We're never going to have a horse like that again. So I think it's going to be a long time. I think it's – what were the options of the answers?
Chauncey, what were they? Was it 0 to 5, right? 0 to 5 years. The second category was 5 to 10?
Yeah, 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 20, or more than 20.
Okay.
I give the over-under like 7 years, over-under.
All right.
In Vegas,
so in
I'll call
second,
Vegas.
Second
yeah,
category.
I just don't.
Yeah,
and that's optimistic.
Well,
guys, it's been 30 some odd years.
I think, and I've said this for a long time on this program, if you're going to win the Triple Crown, okay, you have to be a great horse, not a good horse, not a very good horse. You have to be a great horse, and that's what we saw last year with American Pharoah. And American Pharoah overcame several obstacles along the way. He overcame a big field in the Kentucky Derby, like most of the horses today have to. He overcame an off racetrack right before the Preakness. Remember when we had a deluge right before the Preakness, and it turned the racetrack to a sea of slop. He overcame that. Then he overcame the mile and a half of the Belmont Stakes, which you had to do. So it takes a great horse, and you have to overcome some adversity. Nyquist, very, very good. I mean, that horse is really good. He proved it in the Preakness. He ran a great race, just not up to the task. And you have to be great if you're going to win the Triple Crown.
Right, and I think all of us, as we watch the Preakness unfold, and you and I talk, and we'll talk more about the fractions in the Kentucky Derby and in the Preakness, as they ran down the stretch for the first time in the Preakness, and you talked about the fractions, and how they were very similar to the Derby.
Yeah.
But that was not the same horse that I saw running. And he was on the lead as opposed to sitting just off the lead. But I used the term as I watched this at a party that he looked rank, but I stopped myself from that. He looked very much on the muscle. His head was thrown to the right, and that was just not the same action that I saw. And as soon as they got to the first turn, they flew up that first fraction of 21, whatever it was. I don't know. I knew it didn't seem like the same horse that was in the Derby. But
Mario hustled Nyquist away from the gate. Right, if you watch the break, he really did ask him to go. And it was clear that their strategy was to be up on the lead or certainly very, very close to lead in the Preakness Stakes. Now, that was a similar strategy that they employed in winning the Kentucky Derby 2 weeks prior. And if you do go back and look at the fractions, and I'm glad you brought that up, because Mario Gutierrez has kind of taken a little bit of a beating in terms of his ride in the Preakness. And I don't think that's fair. Because Nyquist is a very fast horse. He's shown that throughout his entire career. He has a high cruising speed. Now, if you look at the Kentucky Derby, Nyquist was sitting a half a length off the lead after the opening quarter mile, which went in 22.58 seconds. In the Preakness, he's on the lead, and they go 22.38, so almost identical. Now, but he's on the lead this time, but he's running almost the same fraction, that same opening quarter. Now you look back on the Derby and you go, okay, well, the half mile was 45.72. Nyquist at that point was about a length and a half off the lead. You come back to the Preakness, they go 46.56, so a little bit slower, but now he's on the lead. So his time, his fractions, and the pace that Nyquist was running in the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness were almost identical. So he ran the same race, but because of the fact he was on the lead and he got hooked on the front end with a long shot play, Uncle Lino in the Preakness, people are going to come back and they're going to – it's easy to criticize the rider and say, hey, Mario Gutierrez gave him a bad ride. I don't think that's the case at all.
Yeah,
I really don't.
I don't disagree. He was laying off outside of Danzig Candy in the Derby.
In the Derby.
You're right. And they went 110 for six furlongs in the Derby, 111.
Right.
They slowed it down a number to 111 in the Preakness. So,
right.
Again, I'll go back to what I said a second ago. I just didn't see the same action, the same relaxed movement on that horse. And
well, keep in mind, the Derby was on a fast racetrack.
Yep.
That was a muddy, nasty, gooey type of track
right.
in the Preakness.
I didn't know if I was watching the Preakness or I was at the Jazz Fest in New Orleans for a storm in the middle of the infield of the fairgrounds. But it was, and that makes me think of my other point. One thing that I missed on my wagering that day, that looked like Santa Anita. Exaggerator moved way up.
Yeah.
He paid
just
720.
Just like he did the Delta Jackpot when he won. That was a muddy track that
day. Oh, and it same. And I think that was actually a great value at 5-2 on Preakness Day. He just bounded down. He loves the off track, and it really
I don't think the off track hurt Nyquist. I think it absolutely helped Exaggerator.
Yes.
Not that Exaggerator. Look, if that was a fast track, would Exaggerator have beaten Nyquist? Well, we don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I mean, the horse was coming into the race really good. Maybe he would have beaten him anyway. But Nyquist ran his race. Exaggerator ran a better race.
Yep,
and
I agree.
Neither horse needs to be ashamed of what they did.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously...
obviously, Exaggerator does not.
Yeah, and Nyquist now, who we know is now out of the Belmont, spiked a fever and a high blood white blood cell count.
Yep.
Have I got that right? That horse has traveled a lot. I think he can't. Obviously, they wouldn't have raced him if he wasn't right for the Preakness. But he's going to be on the shelf, and that's happened to him before. I think he had to take a week or two off in the first part of the year after a big race with a little fever and maybe a virus of some kind. So
they'll point for Saratoga with him. That's what Doug said.
Calls me and he asks me, and if he needs me to come up there with him to be a stable boy, I'll be fine and happy to do that. By the way,
you got a pizza place to run. What are you talking about?
Well, they'll let me off. They don't let me behind the counter to make any pizzas.
I don't think Todd Sackett's going to be happy with that.
He didn't let me back there to the oven anyway, but believe me, have you ever seen me make a Jimmy John sandwich?
Yeah,
they
you
make
did
fun
it for
of me.
Me once.
They make fun of
once.
Me. Yeah. Was there meat on the sandwich?
Yeah, you did it once. So I think they are going to point for Saratoga. And how good the Traverse Stakes might be. Of course, we're happy to bring that coverage your way here on the network later this summer. But, boy, you think about Exaggerator and Nyquist, if they would all stay on that same path. And then Mohamed pointing for the Traverse as well. That's his stated goal for the summer. That race, and then you throw in horses like Cherry Wine, who's going to come back in the Belmont. Big, big run to be second and just nose out Nyquist at the line in the Preakness. Stradivari proved that he's a quality horse, finishing fourth in his stakes debut. That's one heck of a place to make a stakes debut, but he finishes a very game fourth as well. This was a good group of three-year-olds that ran in that Preakness Stakes.
Good group, but I'm not smart enough to say they're not great though. You know, if you looked at the Kentucky going into the Kentucky Derby, whether the Brisnet Speed Figs or Buyer Speed Figures, I was considering with my buddies Cool Feek and JP back in the guys I, handicap with, I was looking at horses who had numbers in the 80s and going, you would never have played these in the Derby in the past. It looked like this was, and I don't, again, know enough to go deep into the argument, but if you look at the Exaggerator's Speed Figs, he really, even if he regressed from the Santa Anita Derby and comes back to a 96-97, he could beat that group, so to speak, or at a high level. But, you know, years ago you had to run a 107-109 to win the Derby. I'm just not sure how – and time will tell how good this crop is. But.
Correct. Yeah, you can't make that assessment yet, and I say that every year. You can't make the assessment until these three-year-olds start running against older horses, until they start as older horses developing, right? All of a sudden, they become really, really good.
Right.
You can't assess a three-year-old crop this early. I know it's almost to the Belmont Stakes. It's still too early, in my opinion,
right,
to say this is a good crop, this is a bad crop. I hate that knee-jerk reaction every year. And you see it every year where people say, oh, these three-year-olds are no good. This is a slow three-year-old.
Right.
And forget about the numbers. Forget about buyers and all those kind of numbers. I can't stand that we narrow everything down to a number in this sport.
I can get caught on that number a little bit, and many people can.
Yeah.
But
right,
at the same time, it did give me a snapshot of the group
as
a whole.
What if American Pharoah won the Triple Crown and his highest buyer was like 98 or something? Do we say, oh, he wasn't a very good horse? It was a weak crop.
Which we wouldn't say ever.
I mean, just because it was a buyer speed figure, I don't buy into that. I think you got to look at the horse. You got to look at the body of work. And if these three-year-olds start beating some of the older horses we have in the game when we get into the fall, then you have to say, yeah, you know what? This crop was pretty darn good, and Nyquist was good, Exaggerator's good, and all the other three-year-olds that were running behind him were pretty solid as well. But
agreed.
Anyway, we have to get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment. Dave Rodman is going to join us on the other side of that. But as always, the Lexus Legends of the Turf brought to you by the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty right here in Lexington, Kentucky.
He was the son of Forley out of Lady Golconda by Hasty Road and was foaled in 1970, the same year as Secretariat. But while Secretariat began showing championship mettle as soon as he began to train, this horse was very rapidly acquiring a marked reputation as an unmanageable rogue. He was a huge colt who very early on displayed an ungentlemanly interest in fillies. Further, he had the dangerous and painful habit of savaging any individual who dared come close enough to him. His owners, the Lazy F Ranch, had him gelded to try to correct the problem, and though that surgical process made him at least trainable, he never got to the racetrack till he was three. He broke his maiden in his second start and had second-place finishes in the Hutchinson Stakes and the Florida Derby. But he ran a distant fourth while priced at 28-1 to Secretariat, and that colt's record-smashing win in the Kentucky Derby. This horse came into his own in his sophomore season on the track in the fall, with convincing scores in the Roamer and the Discovery Handicaps at Aqueduct, and that, as the saying goes, was the start of something big indeed. At four, his star shone brightly in the heavens of thoroughbred racing. He began that campaign with four straight wins. He was a strikingly handsome, huge bay, standing 17-plus hands, and one could easily pick him out of a crowd of horses at any distance. He did have a gift. A gift for the crowd-pleasing late charge had made him very popular with the public, and horsemen were awed by his incredible versatility. At the conclusion of his four-year-old campaign, he won the 12-furlong Woodward by a neck, and 3 weeks later came back to soundly whip the nation's premier sprinters and the 7-furlong Vosburgh Handicap, winning it by three. And just 3 weeks after that, he rolled to a devastating win over a solid field of 9 distance horses in the grueling 2-mile Jockey Club Gold Cup. In that year of 1974, he won 3 Eclipse Awards, Best Older Horse or Gelding, Best Sprinter, and Horse of the Year. He followed that year with 2 other scores as Horse of the Year, both in 1975 and 1976. In both those years, he won 2 legs of the Handicap Triple Crown. The second year, just missing the triple and losing by a heartbreaking nose to Foolish Pleasure in the Suburban. His 1976 campaign as final on the racetrack found him chalking up one of the most remarkable victories in the chronicled annals of racing in the Marlboro Cup. Honest Pleasure was in receipt of 18 pounds from this horse, who was burdened with a weighty impost of 137 pounds. Honest Pleasure moved out to what appeared to be an insurmountable lead in that 10-furlong test. At the top of the stretch, you couldn't find our horse of the day with a proverbial searchlight. But on a sloppy track, Bill Shoemaker turned him loose and he gobbled up huge chunks of real estate in an absolutely breathtaking run that made him appear as though literally shot from a cannon. He got up to win it in the very last stride by a head in a heart-stopping charge to the wire. He was finally forced into retirement by a bad ankle, but not before he had answered the call to post 57 times and winning 34 of those and being in the money on 50 of those occasions. 50 for 57 in the money. Remarkable. That great thoroughbred who turned from rogue to champion and was, in every sense of the word, a people's horse was Forgo.
Lexus. Once driven,
there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience. On Saturday, June 4th, Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse is proud to present the fourth running of the $500,000 Grade 3 Penn Mile. Live racing action starts at 6 p.m. Eastern with an all-stakes pick four featuring the Pennsylvania Governor's Cup, the Penn Oaks, the Mountain View Stakes, and it's all anchored by the Penn Mile. Again, that's Saturday, June 6th at 6 p.m. Eastern at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse.
Pin Oak Studs, Broken Vow, ranks among the top sires in North America every year. Runners by this outstanding son of Unbridled have earned nearly $54 million and won major stakes on all surfaces from coast to coast. Sought after in the sales ring and hard to catch on the track, Broken Vow consistently has success at the highest level. Broken Vow at Pin Oak Stud.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair strips. FlairStrips.com.
Power.
A Fleet Alex strolling home in the Preakness to win by three.
Passion.
A Fleet Alex opening up with a tremendous burst of energy. He's five lengths clear at the eighth pole.
Performance.
It is Texas Red just outclassing them. Look at this for an easy one in the Breeders' Cup.
Gainesway Stallion, A Fleet Alex. A champion on the racetrack, now a proven sire with 52 black type horses, 13 graded winners, 30 black type winners, and progeny earnings of $32 million. His seven Grade 1 winners include Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner Texas Red, Florida Derby hero Materiality, Travers winner of Fleet Express, and Charleray, a game winner of the Grade 1 Del Mar Oaks. On the racetrack, a Fleet Alex was a precocious two-year-old, winning his first four starts, including the Grade 1 Hopeful. At three, he dominated the Preakness and Belmont Stakes, winning by a combined 11 and three-quarter lengths. A Fleet Alex, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Ben's Cap traveling in fourth, just behind that second group. 21 and 2 was an opening quarter mile as they swing into the stretch now. Rocket Heat is the leader by three lengths and Spring to the Sky, the outside. Rapidan, Ben's Cat saving all the ground, is trying to charge from fourth of the furlong left to go. 44 second half mile. Rocket Heat is the leader. Rocket Heat up top, Spring to the Sky. Ben's Cat surging late. Can Ben's Cat get there? Here comes the Cat. The Cat surges through. Oh, 2016 is the year of the Cat. He's 10, he's better than ever, and it's Ben's Cat in the Jim McKay Turf Sprint, fifth Jim McKay Turf Sprint for the remarkable Ben's Cat.
Dave Rodman, the voice of Maryland Racing, with another outstanding call. Ben's Cat does it again. That was last Friday, May 20th. He wins the Jim McKay Turf Sprint, as you heard Dave say, for the fifth time. It's the fifth time in six starts that he's won that race. That's 6 years in a row. He's now won it four consecutive years. The horse is absolutely unbelievable. And Billy White, I can tell you this. As I was watching the race, I'm looking at it at the 16th pole, and I'm saying he has no chance, just like I did last year. I said, Ben's Cat has no chance. He's going to be second, maybe third, and then all of a sudden he just finds another gear, and he's got this will to win, and the horse is – I had chills. I had chills watching this horse run.
Those kind of horses, they are once-in-a-lifetime horse. That's unbelievable.
I stood there applauding
straight races
in our broadcast
and five victories. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Just incredible.
Amazing. And, of course, as I mentioned, the voice you just heard, Dave Rodman, he joins us now.
Great call.
Mike Penna, Billy White, live from Uncle Matteo's Pizza Joint right here in Lexington. Dave, welcome to the show, my friend.
Yeah. Hey, Mike. Hey, Billy. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Great call of that race, by the way. Fantastic.
Yeah, thanks. You know, he's going to catch me one day because he's the kind of horse that, you know, he's a fan favorite. I mean, he's one of my favorites, really, in all my 26 years here. And you know, you got to keep an eye on him. You know, you got to tell the fans what he's doing. And one of these days, he's not going to get there. And, you know, you want to root for him, but you have to make kind of an impartial call. But, what a horse. I mean, that, like you said, in that race to Jim McKay, fifth overall, he's 32 for 55 lifetime, 26 stakes wins. But, you know, beyond that, I mean, he's won the Mr. Diz Stakes and other stakes here in Maryland, six straight years. And at Penn National, I think he won the Fabulous Strike several straight years, I think 3 years in a row. So he's a horse who's got a huge following, first here in the Mid-Atlantic, but now nationally, I believe, because of his Hall of Fame trainer, King Leatherberry, you know, his tenacity, the whole story of the horse where, you know, he probably could hardly have even made it to the races, the pelvis issue, broke a pelvis, and he didn't start his career till late stages, and that's probably what has added to his longevity, his popularity here in the region nationally, too.
Let me just throw some numbers out there to the HRN Nation when we talk about Ben's Cat. We talk about how prolific he has been in that one particular race, but here's a horse that at the age of 10 has started 55 times. He's won 32 of those 55 starts. His earnings more than $2.5 million. And Dave, I've said this for a while now. He's kind of done that the hard way. He's not running in grade one races with a purse of $1.5 million. He's running in lesser purse races, meaning he's done this kind of all on his own and done it the hard way.
And seemingly improving from the age 9 to 10. His comeback race this year as a 10-year-old earned a higher buyer speed figure than his comeback race at the age of 9. So, you know,
wow.
Horses like King Leatherberry said, Hall of Fame trainer King Leatherberry said, horses come and horses go and people forget about him, but here's a horse that people can follow, you know, and relate to, that gives them, you know, a reason to come to the track. I mean, I don't remember a horse in Maryland that has ever attracted such a following, a fan base, you know, applause, folks taking pictures of him more than this horse, except for maybe Extra Heat, you know, the Hall of Famer Extra Heat back for the great sprinter, you know, won the Barbara Fritchie in the Fog.
Yeah.
And she won about as many stakes, Extra Heat. This was, the 26 stakes win for Ben's Cat. And Equibase stats from our press release, only five horses in the past 40 years and won 25 or more stakes. So listen to this. John Henry, Who Doctor Who, and Hall of Famer Extra Heat. So trailing only those horses in number of stakes wins.
Tell me about the owners, the connections, the owners. I'm not familiar with them.
King Leatherberry's.
Okay,
horse.
Trained and
the Jim Stable. Yeah,
I got you.
The Jim Stable. Yeah,
I got you.
Yep.
Right.
He's unbelievable. Is Ben's Cat a Hall of Famer, Dave?
I hope so. I'd vote for him. Yeah, I think so. I mean, when you really look at those numbers, you know, in five horses in the past 40 years to win 25 or more stakes. I mean, John Henry's in the Hall of Fame, Extra Heat, Who Doctor Who, quite a popular horse in the Midwest back years ago. Remember him? Terry Wallace, I believe, used to give him the famous call, "Who, Doctor Who?"
Yeah.
Remember, I don't know if you remember him or not, but I think so. I mean, I think King said he would like to maybe race him one more year if he's up to it. You know, he's going to do what's best for the horse. Personally, I'd like to see him when he retires, maybe get turned out at Laurel Park in the first turn paddock there, you know, let people look at him, kind of have a home. I don't know, maybe a little bit too close to the racing action for him. You might want to jump in there in the final in that opening first turn, rather, that mile of the 16th race. Every time you see the race go off there, you might think he's running again. I guess that wouldn't be a good idea, but he's a fan favorite, and when he retires, there's going to be a huge crowd. But at this point, doesn't look like he's going to retire, and Hall of Famer King Leatherbury is not going to retire either much.
No, not at all.
With this horse keeping him going.
Dave Rodman, the voice of racing in the state of Maryland, and it was his voice that you heard last weekend calling the Preakness Stakes. Of course, Larry Colmus had the call on national radio, and Dave Rodman had the call on the Pimlico feed. And Dave, let me tell you, that race, it went the way a lot of people thought it was going to, because Exaggerator figured to move up in the mud. But I'm curious to get your thoughts on what you saw as you were calling the race.
Well, you know, you don't want to handicap the race too much beforehand, you know, and have a scenario plotted out in your mind. But this was pretty much one of the scenarios that I thought kind of would happen. It was either going to be Nyquist going to the front and not looking back, Nyquist dueling for the lead, and here comes Exaggerator, or maybe trying to take Nyquist back off the duel, but with a sloppy track. What would happen then if he kind of got mud kicked in his face and splashed back to the first turn, especially breaking near the inside, and, you know, all that water down to the inside and kickback. So one of the three scenarios actually developed, so it was interesting to see that in that opening furlong to, you know, see runners take on Nyquist from both sides. And that opening quarter really kind of told the story. 22.38, the official time there. That was the fastest opening quarter in the history of the Preakness. I think four others were just a fifth of a second behind for the fastest opening quarter. And, you know, was it his undoing? I don't know. I mean, Doug O'Neill said it was his instructions, obviously, to go. So taking any blame off of Mario Gutierrez, you got to remember, he was beaten only a nose, the last jump for second. And of course, since then, has come down with a little bit of an ailment. He'll be okay. So, you know, was Preakness Day the day that it finally took effect? How much effect did it have on him? It was a brave, a valiant race, but a really great ride there from Kent on Exaggerator, who was down inside in what seemingly was maybe the worst part of the track, according to some, though Kent said he kind of warmed up Exaggerator all over the track, and he knew exactly where he was going to be at the point in the race. He seemed to stall a little bit, and looking at the replay again, I didn't really notice that Exaggerator, once he made that move into the turn, and then he got outside and made his sweeping move on a track that he really loved. So I think a great result, obviously. With the rain for Exaggerator, they got what they wanted, a sloppy track, but he finally turns the tables on Nyquist. Big race for Cherry Wine to close from far, far back. And I thought a pretty good race for the Japanese horse, Lonnie, who galloped out once again very strongly in that last well, right after the wire, that last 16th of a mile was a pretty strong run there from Lonnie.
Yeah, Lonnie running a big, big race for him. And, you know, a lot of people thought he was a sneaky play in there and kind of a long shot play because of the fact that he ran an okay race in the Kentucky Derby as well. And he just continues to run good races. Not great races, but good races. And, mm-hmm. You know, a horse that that maybe the mile and a half of the Belmont might be absolutely perfect for him.
Was he actually behind by 27 lengths at one point? I mean, he might need a new jock. he gets in trouble all the time. I know their connections are from Japan, but my goodness.
That's just his style. You know, he was brought out ahead of the post parade, ahead of the others. You know, he can be a bit tough to handle, and they affixed the saddle at the starting gate. Bubba, one of our ballots here, one of the longtime ballots in charge of that. And, you know, so, but I can tell you this, the horse had fun, and so did his connections, because at the VIP party a couple of nights before Preakness was a country theme, the Kenny Chesney concert.
Oh,
and they all of them were wearing cowboy hats, all the Japanese crew. They came dressed for Kenny Chesney, I can tell you that. they really did have a good time here. I mean, people say all owners, trainers, and connections have a great time in Baltimore, but they took advantage of all the great things that leading up to the Preakness, and the horse ran well for them.
Yeah, one other side note regarding Lonnie, Dave, is you mentioned the fact that he was brought out early, much earlier than the other horses. He had to stay at the top of the stretch is where they saddled him, which is very unique. They kept him away from all the other horses. Yutaka Take, his jockey, made his way down to meet Lonnie and was standing there for a good 15 minutes with an umbrella over his head. Somebody was holding the umbrella so that he wouldn't get drenched as he was waiting to get onto the horse. He gets a leg up. He was aboard Lonnie, circling down there at the top of the stretch for a good 10 or 15 minutes before the other riders even got a leg up on the traditional turf course area. So he had to carry that weight an extra 15 minutes or so, which is somewhat unheard of as well, and that couldn't have helped.
Well, I mean, I guess that's the way that he's trained, and he's very used to it. I've heard arguments about that as well, that maybe that didn't help him. But, you know, he's a horse with some talent, you know, and one day he's really going to show his full potential there. Interesting run from him. But Exaggerator, kudos to the DeSormo brothers and their win in the Preakness and turning the tables on Nyquist. He's still here in Baltimore, still back there at Stakes Barns, a little quieter this week than it was last week here, he'll be shipping out to New York.
Dave Rodman joining us on the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests, he's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Dave, really do appreciate the time, my friend, and great to see you last weekend, and we'll look forward to catching up again soon.
Okay, as long as the gift is not a rain poncho, we don't need that anymore after the last couple of years of Preakness. All right.
No, the infield can't take any more rain.
Yeah, I mean, Friday was such a spectacular, a brilliant day with Ben's Cat, and then, Saturday, quite a different scene here. So hopefully next year we'll have a clear and fast Preakness.
All right, Dave Rodman, we appreciate it, my friend. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay, Mike. See you, Bill.
All right, one of the best in the business there. He really does a great job up there in Maryland. So enthusiastic. You remember a couple of years ago, well, actually 2008, the call of Big Brown barreling through Baltimore. I still love that call. It's a Fleet Alex was another great call that Dave had when he almost went down at the top of the stretch in the Preakness. But one of the best in the game. We appreciate his time looking back on last weekend's Preakness. We'll continue to do that. We'll look ahead to the Belmont when we come back with our special guest, Eric Barlin from Tito's Handmade Vodka. He joins us at 9 o'clock Eastern time. So stay with us for that right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Triple Crown.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 and 220.
Minutes?
No, seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast? fast.
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, the most expensive yearling from the great pioneer of the Nile's debut crop and a top-class juvenile winning the Grade 2 Nashua before his memorable battle with Eclipse Champion Honor Code in the Remsen. At 3, Cairo Prince was simply sensational in the Grade 2 Holy Bull Stakes, making him the early book favorite for the Kentucky Derby.
Cairo Prince has run away! Cairo Prince and Luis Saez with an emphatic win in the Holy Bull!
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince. Think about it.
A multiple Grade 1 winning millionaire sprinter.
It's going to be very close at the finish, and here's the wire. It's Palace, the winner.
The best son of leading sire City Zip.
And it will be Palace, the winner by 3/4 of a length. And Palace dazzles here and wins by 3.5 lengths.
Palace, new for 2016 at Spindthrift Farm. Visit SpindthriftFarm.com.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And here is Lady Shipman. She's just too fast for them, Lady Shipman.
Lady Shipman rolled to her 9th career stakes victory in the Very One Stakes at Pimlico this past weekend. And the daughter of Darley Stallion Midshipman is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Midshipman, an Eclipse Champion 2-year-old and the fastest winner of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile while defeating the future Kentucky Derby 1-2 finishers. Midshipman has sired a phenomenal 17% stakes horses to runners, including Grade 1 filly Lady Shipman and Grade 2 colts Allied Air Raid and Fermento. Midshipman bred 354 mares in 2013, 2014, and 2015. It's all aboard Darley Stallion Midshipman. Learn more by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Alice Springs is going to try to find an opening down toward the inside in fourth. Thrilled is fifth. Harmonize is in sixth in between horses off the turn. Sapphire Kitten comes forward. Alice Springs need room. Catch a Glimpse has the lead. Ruby Notion drops back. Catch a Glimpse leading it. And Sapphire Kitten trying. Alice Springs trying. Nemeralia running late from far back. Catch a Glimpse with the lead. Nemeralia runs on from the outside. Catch a Glimpse the leader. Catch a Glimpse the winner for Florent Giroux. Close for second, maybe Alice Springs. If not her, it'll be Nemeralia for that runner-up spot in 1 minute, 39 seconds.
Kurt Becker with a call of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf at Keeneland last year, and Catch a Glimpse getting the victory that afternoon. She is scheduled to take on the boys next Saturday evening in the Grade 3 Penn Mile. That's a race we're going to have for you right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can visit our website to learn more about affiliates and SiriusXM channel information, and you can listen worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. Now, if she does that, it would be a tremendous, tremendous horse race. So many other good horses pointing for the Penn Mile. Of course, our coverage kicking off 6 o'clock Eastern Time next Saturday night. This show will be live from Penn next Saturday as well. So make sure you join us for all of that coverage coming up 1 week from today. 2 weeks from today, it's the final jewel of the Triple Crown, the test of the champion, the Belmont Stakes. No Triple Crown on the line, but our coverage will have you covered all day long on that Saturday, June 11th. So make sure you're there as well. Mike Penna, Billy White, live from Uncle Matteo's Pizza Joint here in Lexington, Kentucky. It is located on Euclid and Marquis, right next to the Kroger. If you haven't been here to Uncle Matteo's, well, you're really missing out. They've been open since February, and it is a fast, casual pizza joint, meaning you come in here, about 6.5 minutes, you get your pizza, you sit down, you enjoy a great meal. The pizzas are tremendous. I can promise you that. You will not be disappointed. Come in and check them out, and I'm voting for the steak and blue or the chicken club pizza.
I'm surprised you're having steak. Well, steak or chicken for you. You don't want anything with seafood on it. I know that. No fish sandwich for you. No. You did recently eat sushi, I heard.
Not sushi.
No.
I tried. No, not sushi. I tried because I was forced to do it by our good friend Safi Joseph down in Florida. Yeah. He guilted me into it. I tried tuna tartare. It was the most disgusting thing I've ever put in my mouth. It was horrible.
It's good for you, Mikey.
I'm traumatized.
I'm traumatized knowing you for 10 years.
I can't
years,
even look at a can of chicken of the sea when I walk into the supermarket anymore.
Oh, my goodness. You got to branch out from Versailles, will you, buddy? Come on. It's a big world out there.
We want to, just very quickly, we have to get to hour number two. Eric Barland from Tito's Handmade Vodka is going to join us here in just a few moments, and he'll tell you about their involvement with Breeders' Cup. He's going to tell you, he'll share his thoughts on Preakness and look ahead to the Belmont for us as well, but we'll do that momentarily. But Billy, there was a bit of a technical issue with the local affiliate here, Hank 96.1 in Lexington.
Oh boy.
As we came on the air, we want to just reiterate, we are here at Uncle Matteo's. You, of course, and your entire team that is involved with Uncle Matteo's have been involved with this program through Jimmy John's. You're part of that Jimmy John's franchise here in the Lexington area as well. And you've been involved with this program for about a decade now, and now starting Uncle Matteo. So that's the reason we're here today.
Absolutely.
And a new endeavor for you guys. It's gone very, very well, and looking forward to bigger and better things from Uncle Matteo's here.
Absolutely. Thank you. And thanks for Hank for getting everything cleared up. Love the radio station. Great people. We're here for the long haul. We've got a multi-store deal with Uncle Matteo's. We're going to take it one pizza at a time. We love this place. We love Chevy Chase. Close to the campus, close to the community. Chevy Chase has really embraced us, the people and the neighbors here. And the food is phenomenal. It's fresh. We make it all here every day, nothing out of a bag, no freezer in the back. We marinate, grill the chicken on the flat top, grill your Angus steak on the flat top, and we're proud of that. Soups made from scratch, salads that you build yourself. I had one 2 days ago, and I had it again yesterday, same salad. It's that big. It was 2 days worth of lunches for me, and we're very proud of the brand and proud of our Jimmy John's history with the Lexington community, and looking forward to doing the same thing with Uncle Matteo's. And thank you for the support.
Yeah, some great people involved with this program, including Uncle Matteo's and Jimmy John's, and now Tony's, which is located just a short drive from here, which is across from Rupp Arena, and had a chance to go over there last evening, had a great meal. I took the Godfather from Lexus. He had never been.
My gosh. And, were you in the back corner booth or where were you?
Matter of fact, we were.
That's scary.
Now that you mentioned that.
I was there Thursday night, just to reiterate what you said. Phenomenal place. Great people. Tony is phenomenal. I hope that we do the same thing that they do in customer service and food quality in the pizza business and Jimmy John's as they do in the high-end steakhouse. And it's I was just there, had the pork sliders. Phenomenal.
The whole thing. Everything that we have ever tried at Tony's is simply superb, and the atmosphere is tremendous. If you haven't been, go check out Tony's as well. I promise you, Tony Ricci and his staff will make you feel
last
welcome.
Last time you took me there, you only let me get soup, though. What happened? I couldn't get a steak or
I was
anything.
Paying.
That's right, exactly.
It was on me.
I think Michelle
soup
was paying.
Is
I think
a meal,
Michelle
Banyan.
Was paying.
Banyan, soup is a meal. It counts.
It does. Yeah. Thank you, Jerry. Thanks, Jerry. That does not count.
All right, we're going to get to a short break here. Pause 10 seconds for station identification. Then we will come back. Hour number two, Eric Barland, Tracy Egan, and the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Busy second hour. We're back right after this. Right after we pause, 10 seconds for station identification on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by FarmPaint.com.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Brody's Claws at the 16th pole, chased by Cherry Wine. My Man Sam running huge from last, but Brody's Claws in front. Brody's Claws for Luis Saez to win the Toyota Bluegrass.
And it's Mohamed who has taken the lead on the outside. Mohamed to the front, pulling away from Zulu Fellowship is third as Mohamed pulls away.
But Exaggerator is finishing with conviction this afternoon. Exaggerator, an absolutely brilliant victory in the Santa Anita Derby.
Now here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum presented by FarmPaint.com right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, joined this morning by Billy White Shoes. Billy White.
Present.
Jimmy John's and Uncle Matteo's fame here in Lexington. You've heard him on the program for the past decade. He's sitting in for the Pontiff of the Pick Four, who, in case you're wondering, made his way to Atlanta this weekend for a Barbados convention. And he figured if he couldn't get to Barbados, he'd just go to Atlanta and be with all the Barbados folks there, drinking some Bajan rum, and I'm sure he's having a great time down there in Atlanta.
What is the general purpose of the Barbados convention? Just to is it a tourism thing?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, all of our coverage coming up in 2 weeks of the Belmont Stakes undercard races is presented by BarbadosTourism.org.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You guys are going big time. You're international
now. Including our Saturdays at Saratoga coverage this summer and our Breeders' Cup coverage on the West Coast later this year. It's all presented by VisitBarbados.org. They are having a conference and a showcase event for Barbados Tourism in Atlanta this weekend. So Jude made the trip down there to represent HRN.
Is he the self-appointed ambassador for Barbados Tourism, or well, is it a paid position? Because he is all over it.
Yeah, he would tell you he is their Barbados ambassador. There's no doubt about that. I'm sure he's having a great time there in Atlanta, as are we here in Lexington. And Eric Barland is from Tito's Handmade Vodka. He is up in Chicago right now, and he joins us here on the Equine Forum. Eric, welcome to the program, my friend.
Morning, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, happy to have you on board. And, hey, look, I was talking about this a short time ago. I was at a really nice steakhouse here in Lexington last evening, Tony's Steakhouse, and the first thing I did was walk in and order a Tito's and Sprite, and that's what I drank throughout the entire dinner. I'm a huge Tito's guy, and I have you to thank for that, my friend.
As long as you're putting Tito's in there, I don't care what you mix it with. You're helping pay our rent.
I was going to say, that's Sprite, Tito's and Sprite.
It's very refreshing.
Way to ruin a great vodka.
It was mostly Tito's. They make a good drink.
Yeah, fantastic brand and a fantastic vodka. And thanks for supporting the horse racing industry. That's phenomenal.
No problem. We're making some inroads. We're pretty excited about getting back to Santa Anita this year for the Breeders' Cup. That team there just does such a phenomenal job for us, you know, just offering value to sponsors, Brian Pettigrew and Bob and Nate, Josie, Heather Higgins, Peter Rotondo. It's just, they really offer value to people that are sponsoring those events. So I'd encourage anybody that's got a good large company that's looking to step it up. From our standpoint, you know, we've really only gotten started in our international business. So having all these owners and trainers and people globally coming over and checking it out, checking our brand out, is pretty exciting for us. We've got a whole team out west working on that. And I think Santa Anita is just such a great venue. Just, you know, if you go back to the old Seabiscuit days, that track can handle 80,000 people easily. And I just thought the people at Keeneland and Lexington just did such a phenomenal job this year. I know there are a lot of concerns about being able to get in and out and everything, and they just did a tremendous job. So hats off to those guys, and looking forward to some sunshine out there out west this summer.
Yeah, Tito's not only a huge supporter of Breeders' Cup, they are also a tremendous supporter of our official charity, the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. They do a lot to give back to disabled riders. They're, of course, the title sponsor of our Tuesday evening Jock Talk show, all presented by Tito's right here on the network. You can hear that show 6 to 7 Eastern, Tuesday evenings, Sirius 220, XM 206, and worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. Eric, we talked about this earlier in the show, that people in the horse industry like to support the people that support them. And I think you've probably seen the same thing with Tito's, where so many of the farms, so many of the functions that we attend now in the industry are serving Tito's vodka because of what you've done with your support of all these other entities.
Yeah, Tito's a big supporter of the industry in general. I mean, we've had a lot of equine efforts out there. I was just talking to Nancy the other day. So for the Saratoga meet, like for PDJF, we're going to do the karaoke night with the jockeys as well as a new golf tournament that they're doing. We've done the Eclipse Awards. We had about 15 different events at the Derby. So even though we weren't the title sponsor at Churchill Downs, we were able to sort of surround the track with our Airstream and all of our charitable efforts. So, you know, the racing industry is such a great American pastime, and we're, you know, sort of a great American brand. And I think that if you look at Tito's history being such an entrepreneur, you know, if you're in the horse racing industry, not every horse is going to be a Kentucky Derby winner. And I think he gravitates to the entrepreneurial spirit of everybody, you know, in the industry. And, you know, this is his home run, obviously, this brand. But to be quite honest, he had a lot of failed businesses before he landed in the spirits business. And he kind of crumples up those failures on his lapel and goes out and says, you know, this is now my winner. So he really encourages, you know, people in the industry that, you know, might have a tough time to get back up on their feet and help those people out. So I think he's done a great job supporting us and the industry with that.
Oh, yeah. That's most of the horses that I raced were a prime example of non-Kentucky Derby winners. So it's a very a point well made, And I think that's that is part and parcel to the horse racing industry. It's just the entrepreneurial spirit and willing
to
take it.
Mike, did you have the Preakness? Did you have the Preakness nailed?
You know what? I actually did. Cherry Wine was my long shot play in there. I got so busy with all of our coverage, though, I never got a chance to even bet the race. But I did actually have it nailed. Now, would it have come in like that if I bet the race? That's always the horse player's lament, right? Would it have? I still say it would have.
No, you'd have ruined it for all of us that did make the bet with the Cherry Wine exaggerator exacta, which was my buddies and I covered that.
Did you catch it, Eric?
He had six horses saying they were going to go to the lead. You had to think at least three of them weren't lying. And I thought that, you know, Nyquist kind of got on the muscle, and it was hard for Gutierrez to hold him back. And all week, Romans had been saying that that horse was going to love the slop, and he probably, if he'd had enough points, he probably would have been in the Derby. I knew he was an express bet downgrade, but I still played him just because everything Romans was saying, and the exact comes in at $88, and that was a nice score for our little consortium that day.
Yeah, the exacta was the better play because you had Nyquist in the third spot as your heavy favorite, so the trifecta wasn't going to offer the value that the exacta did. That was really the bet, wasn't it, Eric?
Yes. It was interesting, too, online. There were these matchup bets that you could do where, you know, and they've done them before sometimes in the Breeders' Cup, where you could play a horse just versus another horse. So we were taking Cherry Wine and playing him against, like, Fellowship and some of the other 50 to 60 to 1 shots, just the straight-up bets. So we made a couple of dollars on that, too.
Is that pay even money, or is there a...
You have to lay odds, so it's kind of like a baseball bet. So, right. Like, against Fellowship, he was, like, minus 165. So you had to, if you were laying 100 and you lost, you lose 165.
Wow, that's right. A great action. That's a great wager.
Yeah, it's a really cool way to do it.
Things are getting better here in Chicago, I might add. We're going to go to Wrigley today. And Tito's is available at Wrigley for the first time this season. And then we're going to probably go out to the late pick four out at the new, I don't know if you guys are aware, but here locally with Maywood going down, Maywood Balmoral went bankrupt. So Hawthorne and Arlington have picked up a lot of those OTB sites. And Hawthorne, you know, the Carey family's been around a long time. That team with John Walsh, I know that you guys have, you know, ExpressBet as a sponsor, but I think that club Hawthorne is a nice alternative as an ADW. And they've been putting a lot of money into these local OTBs, sprucing it up with televisions, new restaurants. I know that my friend Joe Fernandez is taking over the one in Oak Brook, which is a 20,000-square-foot property. He's putting in a new Mexican restaurant called En Fuego with the Los Caballos Lounge. And he's added an American craft spirits bar in there called Pony Up. And I think that location specifically will be one of the premier spots for racing in the country when he gets it all done, probably late July.
Well, that's I cut my teeth wagering over there in Oak Brook. I've lived in Naperville, still do for years,
okay.
And that's nice to hear.
We'll have to meet over there.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. And back to your point on the Hawthorne racetrack, when we raced, I don't think I got, took got a picture taken at Arlington, but man, when we get to Hawthorne, we had some nice wins over there. A lot of fun, great little local place, a great jewel of American racing. It's good to hear that they're still vibrant.
Yeah, they work so hard for the local horse player too. You know, they do such a nice job. You know, they don't have the big purses all the time, but as far as the daily horsemen and what they do to try to get purses up so people can actually, you know, sometimes even grind out a living, they do a phenomenal job with that. And they're doing a great job with these OTBs. I can't say enough about the local support we've gotten from Hawthorne.
Eric, we're going to be in Chicago in, well, a couple of months. We'll be there in the middle of August for the Arlington Million again this year. We'll broadcast that race here on the network. What is the status and the state of racing in Illinois right now?
Well, I think, you know, Mr. Dutchess, I believe, has sold all his interests in Churchill Downs. But I think, in fairness, you know, you see a lot of these restaurants, bar restaurants in the suburbs that have the video gaming, that have the slots. And being a racetrack, they haven't been able to get that passed through. And both sides are kind of digging their heels in. And I think it's a complete travesty when you have a track like Arlington that's a fantastic, beautiful $200 million facility. And in all honesty, I think they should be afforded the right to have the slots there so they can get the purses up. You know, you see trainers that are taking their horses to Indiana Downs or Mountaineer because they're casino tracks. And, you know, I think that long-term there needs to be some deal cut so that these guys can function a little better. It's just a tough situation. I think Arlington looks great on the great racing days. You know, when they have the Beverly D, when they have the Million. But if you go out there on an average Thursday right now, there's just not enough people. You know, you probably get as much action at Hawthorne, maybe more. Hawthorne has the night racing with the buggies now.
Yeah, I think I've had a box here at Arlington with my partners for years, and I agree. What's the maiden special weight running for now, 21, 22?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, and we ran for 19.5 in 1995. I mean, you just can't sustain the, the business, you know, that way. It's just tough.
They do fantastic on the big days. You know, they're able to charge a buck. It's a destination place for big days like Mother's Day, Father's Day, things like that. But I'm telling you, the daily grind is not as easy over there because they don't have the revenue to do the purses and get big fields.
Yeah, I think. And you look at that beautiful venue that Mr. D built. Oh boy, I know when you look at it too, it just begs to have one floor of slots or casinos or gaming of some kind, and that would just be, it'd be a heck of a place to go if that would happen, I think.
I mean, I'm from Little Rock, and you look at a place like Oak Lawn down there. You know, when you go to Hot Springs, they have the casino there, and the purses are through the roof for maiden special weights. You've got the full casino there. You've got a resort town. I mean, they've completely maximized that with full fields and a great racing experience. The Arkansas Derby had, I don't know, 100,000 people or something at it this year.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And any horse racing fan should put that track on its bucket list. I love going from the paddock where the horses are in that inside paddock, you know, 27 feet into the door where they're playing cards. I think it's hilarious. It's phenomenal. You can smell the paddock from the blackjack table.
It's definitely good action, isn't it, Billy?
Eric Barland from Tito's Handmade Vodka joining us here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Of course, as we mentioned, you can tune in to Jock Talk every Tuesday night at 6 o'clock Eastern. You can also listen to Jock Talk on our website. All the podcasts up for you at horseracingradio.net, and that show presented each and every Tuesday night by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Eric, we sent out a poll question on our Twitter feed at HRRN this morning, and I'm going to ask you the question. I want to hear your answer. The question is, how long will it be until the next Triple Crown winner? And there's four choices: less than 5 years, 5 to 10 years, 10 to 20, or more than 20 years. What do you think?
I'm going to go 5 to 10. I think there's some good quality animals out there that could do it. It's a shame Nyquist didn't get home in the Preakness, but I don't know. I think I feel like Pharaoh got us off the snide a little bit, and we're experiencing a little bit of a renaissance, so it might take a little while, but I think we're going to get another one soon.
Do you know, one question I got throughout the past couple of weeks with all the different radio interviews I did talking about Derby and Preakness was, has horse racing seen a bump in interest from American Pharoah's run through the Triple Crown last year. What do you think?
Definitely. Definitely. If you go across the board and look at the handle, like just at the local places here, you know, this year's Preakness, the handle is up almost 20% versus last year. And the Derby's handle is up as well. I just think that horse sort of galvanized people a little bit, and it was something special, you know. I mean, to see that horse run in the Breeders' Cup, he was like on a workout. I mean, he was barely touching the ground. It was just an amazing animal. And I think people gravitate to that, and I definitely think you're seeing a lot more new people get to the racetrack right now. Hopefully drinking a few Tito's while they're doing it.
That's a given.
Yeah, it is a given. By far the best vodka you're going to find anywhere, and they are a huge supporter of what we do here on the network. They're a huge supporter of the Breeders' Cup and the PDJF, and we encourage you to support Tito's Handmade Vodka as well. Eric, again, thanks so much for everything that you do for us. We can't put these programs together without the support of our sponsors, and you've been there for a very long time and really do appreciate it. Enjoy the Cubs game today. Good luck there, and we'll catch up with you here soon.
All right, guys. Happy Memorial Day. Good luck and good racing.
You too, my friend.
See you in Oak Brook.
Eric Barland, Tito's Handmade Vodka, like all of our guests who appears on the program, going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. Tracy Egan from the New York Thoroughbred Breeders Association is going to join us shortly after our next commercial break. And then the Big A, Anthony Stabile, is going to take a look at New York Bred Day at Belmont coming up on Monday. And we'll see if we can even coerce a selection for this afternoon from the Big A as well. That interview coming up toward the end of the program. Time now for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Destin Work is stamina builder for Belmont. Belmont Stakes hopeful Destin put in his penultimate work before the June 11th Classic at Belmont Park. He did that yesterday, working in company with graded stakes winner Stanford on the training track after the renovation break. Destin covered 5 furlongs in 101 and 4/5 seconds, ridden in the breeze by exercise rider Hector Ramos. Destin, working on the outside of his stablemate, was on even terms with Stanford through the work at the wire. Stanford, who is being pointed for the Mohegan Sun Metropolitan Handicap on Belmont Stakes undercard, held a head advantage. And that is your Blood Horse news update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, simply head on over to bloodhorse.com and remember to check out Blood Horse Daily, briefing you on important breeding, racing, and sales news. Sign up to have a PDF emailed to you in a daily newsletter or download the app on your smartphone today. That's bloodhorse.com/daily. And we're back to talk about that outstanding New York Bred program with Tracy Egan right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Justin Phillip, a blue blood sprinter whose first crop have been highly acclaimed at the sales by the exciting young sire First Samurai and a half-brother to 3 other graded stakes winners, including Algorithms and Grade 1 winning Kentucky Derby prospect Greenpoint Crusader. Justin Phillip made 32 lifetime starts, 23 in graded stakes, with 9 buyer speed figures of 100 or better.
And Justin Phillip will do it! He was a monster in the mud!
And Justin Phillip will prove best in the Cal Fleet Sprint.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by 2.
With first crop foals bringing up to $110,000 at the 2015 fall sales, Justin Phillip had a weanling sales average of more than $50,000, and he stands for a value price stud fee of only $5,000. Justin Phillip at Castleton Lions. Are you a believer? Visit CastletonLions.com.
And they're off to New York. The premier stake bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Lexington's premier printing company is Copy Express. Located at 1255 Eastland Drive, Copy Express offers fast, friendly service for all your printing needs, including high-quality offset printing, digital printing with speedy job delivery, graphic design and pre-press services, plus soft-touch coating, UV coating, binding, and more. Bring your print projects to life with Copy Express. Quality offset printing and digital printing since 1980.
Grade 1 winner and track record setter Lee is one of the newest additions to the Claiborne Farm roster. The Don Handicap winner traveled around the world and back, competing against the best of his generation. He earned multiple 100-plus buyer speed figures on both dirt and turf, with strong finishes in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, Stephen Foster, Dubai World Cup, and Woodbine Mile. Retiring to stud with more than $2.3 million in lifetime earnings. Lee at Claiborne Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Ramsey Farms, Kitten's Joy.
Stephanie's Kitten and Erod Ortiz Jr. for America in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf.
A champion sire and producer of three Grade 1 winners in 2015.
Chiropractor March Chiropractor in a driving finish here over March.
With more than $11 million in progeny earnings this year.
Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're coming down to the final furlong, and the gutsy gelding funny side has a narrow lead. Bobby Frankel's Derby deal with Peace Rolls to his inside. Empire Maker is giving it all. Funny side trying to pull off the upset here. 12-1 coming down to the line, and the gutsy gelding funny side has won the 129th Kentucky Derby with jockey Jose Santos aboard. And it was dead tight for second between Frankel's horses. Peace Rolls and Empire Maker. That's what I'm talking about. Put in a belated run to be third.
Tom Durkin with the call of that Kentucky Derby victory by New York bred Funny Side. Who will forget his run through the Triple Crown? Boy, did he give a thrill to so many people around the country and around the world. Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna alongside Billy White Shoes. Billy White broadcasting live from Uncle Matteo's Pizza here in Lexington. This is the newest franchise that Billy has gotten involved with. Of course, if you remember, Billy, part of the Jimmy John's franchise that has supported us here on the network for a very, very long time, and looking forward to many years with Uncle Matteo's as well. Make sure you come down here to Euclid and Marquis, the corner of Euclid and Marquis, right next to Kroger, and check out Uncle Matteo's. You won't be disappointed. And Billy, been a fun hour and a half so far, and we still got a little bit more to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Glad to be here. And from your lips to the pizza god's ears, that we may long serve of great pie here, which we do. Phenomenal food. And thanks for the kudos and the compliments. But it is
my wife
fantastic
already
brand.
Texted and put in a request for a mushroom gluten-free pizza, so you better get busy. Well, it only takes you 6.5 minutes to make it.
Yeah, no problem. And I've already texted back that she wants cheese on it. She said yes right now. She said yes, expletive right now. And I just need to know if the hot tub. I want to know if the hot tub is working. And if it's really your hot tub, I don't think it is.
You don't want to tick off the Baroness.
No, she's the one that's in charge. I know the gatekeeper. I'm not dumb. She's the one.
Yeah, she is the one. Hey, by the way, so funny side, New York bred, winning the Kentucky Derby, one of several outstanding New York breds that we've seen in recent years. And you look at that program and the way that they put things together now, and it is so lucrative to race and to breed in the state of New York now. And that is why Tracy Egan, who is the executive director of the New York State Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund, is joining us here on the program. Tracy, first of all, welcome to the show, and congratulations on all your success with that program.
Thank you. It is a phenomenal program. You know, everybody from Boyd Brown at the Phasic Tipton acknowledges that it as the best state bred program in America, and you know, happy that it is. I'm up at Saratoga Racetrack at the Oklahoma track this morning, and it's a beautiful day. So I know in Lexington you're probably having a beautiful morning as well. Todd Fletcher already has 142 horses stabled up here.
Wow. Wow. So you've officially made me jealous, by the way.
Absolutely.
That you're standing next to that Oklahoma track.
Yep.
Yeah, one of the great settings and great places to watch morning workouts. We talk about Santa Anita and what you have with Clocker's Corner looking at the San Gabriel Mountains, but then you stand there in the mornings at the Oklahoma track at Saratoga, and there's just nothing like it. It's like you're going back in time. And you mentioned all of Todd's horses that he has there, Tracy. I think that speaks to the success of that New York bred program, doesn't it? That you'd see a guy like Todd with so many horses?
That's right, and he has, believe me, everybody these days has New York breds in their stable. You know, it's just not smart not to include them in your holster because we've got great days. You know, we have, like, Maryland has its Maryland Million Day. We have 3 Millions days where there's more than $1 million on tap for New York breds. One of them's coming up on Monday, Memorial Day. We have 6 stakes races with purses totaling $900,000, but there's other New York bred races on the card, so it's well over $1 million in purses for New York breds on Memorial Day. You should get the racing form for Monday because lots of full fields. It'll make for really good betting.
Yeah, and we're going to have that coverage here on the network from 3 to 6 Eastern Monday afternoon. You're going to hear all those New York bred races, Sirius 220, XM 206, and streaming worldwide on our website. Anthony Stabile will be live from Belmont Park with that coverage, and really looking forward to that. Tracy, talk about what has made this program so successful. What's been the key?
Well, in truth, about 60% of our revenue comes from video lottery terminals. It was the fruition of the legislation that was passed shortly after 9/11 in 2001, and it took 10 years to, you know, finally get the legislation passed and get video lottery terminals into Aqueduct Racetrack, and Genting has really done a fabulous job of maximizing those machines and got permission at one point to add additional machines. And so we have total revenues of about $21, $22 million a year. And the bulk of that money goes back out in the form of owner's awards, stallion awards, and breeder's awards. If you have a New York sired, New York bred, and it wins a race either at the Finger Lakes or one of the Naira tracks, you get 30% of the winner's share of the purse. As a breeder's bonus, you get 10% for a stallion award and up to 20% for owner's award. So, you know, there's really nothing to beat it. And this year, Naira had an enhanced two-year-old program because they really want people to start realizing that these are the tractors going by at the Oklahoma track. But Naira did a lot this year to make themselves, they want to be known as a really good place to bring your two-year-olds. Their bonus program for New York breds is funded by money from the fund, where we give bonuses through Naira to the owner of two-year-olds that finish first, second, or third, and the trainers also get a bonus. Todd Fletcher won one of the early races, and, you know, like, he needs it, but he got a $4,000 bonus from Naira for that.
Some guys have all the luck. Or I guess I should say some guys make all their luck.
Yeah.
It's quite a trainer.
Tracy Egan from the New York State Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund joining us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Again, that New York program, so solid. And it's not just on the racing side of things, Tracy. Certainly that's a big part of it, but Sunrise Stallions is a huge sponsor of what we do here on the network throughout mm-hmm. the year. And, of course, they stand Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner Big Brown. They stand Frost Giant. And mm-hmm. they have had a tremendous amount of success on the breeding side of things. So it makes sense to breed in New York now as well.
It does. And anybody thinking about, you know, with a promising stallion, they really should consider New York. I did a study about three quarters of the way through 2015, just to look at like what Freud offspring had produced in terms of stallion awards and breeders awards and owners awards. And he produced in 10 years of having horses at the track, I think it was by like maybe September, October of 2015, more than $8 million in awards.
Wow.
Sometimes Freud, when he's a leading sire, will have, you know, $350,000 in stallion awards. So besides the fact that you're collecting stud fees, you're getting this bonus money, because our mission statement is to use monetary incentives to encourage the responsible breeding of quality thoroughbred racehorses. Well, of course, we need quality mares to do that, and we need quality stallions to do that. We still give awards, of course, if you breed to Uncle Mo, like Mike Rapoli does, of course, and the rates are half what they are for the New York sired horses. And so people have to make their own decision if they're going to breed and race their own, which paths to take. If they want to hit the home run in the sales ring, you can do that these days with a New York bred.
Yeah, you certainly can. And
absolutely.
That's a valid point, too, with the sales side of it. We see that every year at Saratoga, where, of course, Fasig Tipton holds their Saratoga sale, which is the open sale, but then they have a New York bred sale right after that, and that New York bred sale continues to grow in numbers and continues to grow in terms of the quality that we're seeing in that sale each and every year, Tracy.
It is, and we hope to use advertising this year to try to entice people to stay from the main sale for the New York bred sale, because there isn't such a steep fall off in quality as there was 10 or 20 years ago. Those notions of what a New York bred is have dramatically changed, especially in the last few years since we've had the enhanced purses at NYRA because of VLTs and enhanced awards because of the VLTs.
Tracy, I have a question for you. I haven't been in New York City lately, but I remember a number of years ago, and please get me caught up, and I don't mean to be too naive, is the OTB system still back up and running, or is it not there in New York?
No, not in New York City. That they had sought bankruptcy protection and didn't get it. I know that NYRA has a plan that is ready to be trotted out, where they could have kiosks in bars and locales that would enable people to bet on their product without having the overhead of so many employees and pensions that happened with New York City OTB, which ended up being what many referred to as bloated. So, no, that's not up and running. NYRA made huge improvements, and this spring they teamed up with another wagering company to enhance what they can offer through their NYRA rewards policy or accounts. So, they're competing probably with some of your sponsors, but everyone will, if you really, with NYRA, of course, you can bet on any races that they carry, not just the New York product.
Sure. Right. Can you imagine a bar serving Tito's vodka and having a kiosk where you can bet the races, and then if they show them on TV, I might never leave.
Well, the fact of the matter is that some of those, there were some classic places in the New York OTB system.
Yeah.
It's been years, and
yeah,
it's unfortunate.
I cut my teeth. That's where I learned about racing, was at the OTB, which was just over from Pittsfield, just over the mountain.
That's where you learned a handicap? That's where you learned a handicap?
It was one of the places, yeah.
That's scary.
There were more characters in those OTBs, too, let me tell you.
Some great places, and I hope that that the NYRA idea expands.
Comes to fruition.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, Tracy, look, that program is really continuing to improve, and it's hard to believe that you could continue to improve on where you've gotten it to now, but you are. And we are, of course, so happy to be able to talk about it here on the network and do all we can to support the New York program. Again, we'll have coverage of New York Bred Stakes Day, which is the showcase day coming up on Monday at Belmont. Our coverage 3 to 6 Eastern right here on the network, and we'll encourage folks to tune into that coverage as we get you set for another stellar day of New York bred racing.
Well, thank you so much. I'm watching about 40 horses come on after the break here at the Oklahoma training track. They put down 3 tons of clay, so it's going to be, the track is going to be as deep and and good at getting horses ready to go out and race as it ever has been. Thanks so much for the airtime, guys.
Tracy, thanks so much, and thank you for all your support of what we do here on the network as well.
Sure do. Take care.
Thank you, Tracy. Bye-bye.
Tracy Egan, Executive Director of the New York State Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund. And
what
really
a,
doing a good job
you
with
talk,
that program.
You horse people kept talking about those early mornings at the Oklahoma training track at Saratoga.
She paints the picture, doesn't she? I felt like I was there.
I'd like to paint a picture of the evenings and the nighttime around Saratoga.
We can't talk about that on the radio.
What a great place. There's not. I've only been there a couple times, but to walk down the street on a Saturday morning and have those – that's selling racing forms and that little program, that little half program they sold on the little stands at every corner.
Yep.
And I love Lexington because of, in part, because of the horse industry and the and everything that surrounds Keeneland and the races and the horse farms and the breeding.
Saratoga is even more intimate.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a much smaller venue. A much smaller setting. Than Lexington.
My
right?
point exactly. You just walk up and down the downtown, and it's horse racing.
Yep.
Band across the street on the sidewalk, around the corner, band on the sidewalk. It's a phenomenal place.
It's almost like going back in time.
It is. It's phenomenal.
We're going to be back in Saratoga this summer every single Saturday, like we did last year. It was tremendously successful. Folks loved it. We got great feedback. So we're going to be back at Saratoga every single Saturday during the meet.
I'm available.
7 consecutive weeks. We'll be there with this program, the Equine Forum, and we will broadcast their big stakes race every single Saturday. It's Saturdays at Saratoga, all presented by BarbadosTourism.org. So you can come to Saratoga. Then after Saratoga, you hop a flight to Barbados. Life is good.
Bada bing, bada bow.
Can't be bad.
No, not at all.
All right, we're going to get to another break. When we come back, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, joins us from Belmont Park. He'll tell you more about that New York Bred Day coming up on Monday, and he will tell you, maybe who's going to win the stakes race at Belmont this afternoon. Stay
we
with us.
We need some picks. We need some picks.
We do need some winners. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Triple Crown.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than 2 guys, sir.
You're right. What do we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Roger.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Roger.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
On Saturday, June 4th, Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse is proud to present the fourth running of the $500,000 Grade 3 Penn Mile. Live racing action starts at 6 p.m. Eastern with an all-stakes pick 4 featuring the Pennsylvania Governor's Cup, the Penn Oaks, the Mountain View Stakes, and it's all anchored by the Penn Mile. Again, that's Saturday, June 6th at 6 p.m. Eastern at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Grade 1 millionaire Cowboy Cow is leading the third crop sire by 2-year-old winners with a dozen juvenile winners already this year. His runners have earned nearly $2 million, and his sires a greater percentage of winners than nearly any other stallion in his crop, including Pioneer of the Nile, Cowboy Cow, a grand-looking son of Giant's Causeway, standing at Pen Oak Stud.
Racing fans, come join us on Saturday, California Gold Rush Day, as we kick off a big three-day Memorial Weekend here at the Great Race Place. Saturday only, you can play in our $40 handicapping contest, and we'll waive the $10 entry fee with $800 in daily prize money up for grabs. Admission gates open at 11:30. First post time is at 2 p.m. Santa Anita. Great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And now Swinch is outside of a tiring. How great as they come to the top of the stretch in the Forbidden Apple. And here's Reload. And Reload runs up alongside of King Creesa as they come into the final furlong. Three quarters in 108-4. And King Creesa's not done yet. King Creesa's taking the lead from Reload. It is King Creesa in front, and he's pulling away. Reload getting weary late. Wicked Strong's going to be second as King Creesa wins. Wicked Strong was second, Vijack is third. Then a photo between Reload and Grand Arch in a final time of 1 minute 32.34 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com. Mike Penna, Billy White, broadcasting live from Uncle Matteo's Pizza in Lexington, Kentucky. If you haven't been here, you're really missing out. It's on the corner of Euclid and Marquis, right next to Kroger. Now, they've been open since February. You come in here, it's a fast, casual experience, meaning you're going to come in, you're going to place your order, you're going to be able to walk right down the line with the pizza maker, pick out your ingredients. 6.5 minutes, your pizza is out of the oven, and trust me, they are spectacular. Several choices to choose from. Make sure you come on in and check them out. Uncle Matteo's Pizza.
We figure you'll get your pizza just as you sit down on our patio with your Country Boy beer or your Dunkel from Blue Stallion.
Bud Light.
Bud Light we have on tap for you. We have Stella Artois cider, cidre for your wife who loves that. That's her drink of
choice. Several
gluten-free
options, which is great. So if you have a gluten allergy, come on down. You can pick out your own crust. There's wheat. There's gluten-free. And then regular white crust as well, right?
Yep, which we make here every day. I mean, it's actually folded, blended in that big blender back there and then laid out, and everything is, which is very key and very important for us. There's a lot of good restaurants that claim fresh, that pretend to be fresh. They don't make anything there. They get it all out of bags and put it on their sandwiches or put it on their pizza or in their salads around the town. We just don't do that. We don't do that at Jimmy John's. We don't do it here.
This is the same team. This is the same Jimmy John's team that people have heard on this program for a decade now.
The Sackett brothers.
The Sackett brothers. Todd Sackett, Matt Sackett, Rob Sackett, all back involved with Uncle Matteo's as well. So you look at the success of all the stores of Jimmy John's stores here in the area, you can't help but think that Uncle Matteo's is going to have that same success.
We sure believe it. I mean, it's just that simple. So we're in here for the long haul on the pizza side and still looking at expansion for Jimmy John's, already looking at 2 or 3 new locations and just remodeled the Waller store, took over the old Backyard Burger. This Waller store that's across from the hospital is now going to have drive-through, sit-down. It's phenomenal. It opens next week. It's just about finished and ready to go.
All right, come on in. Enjoy the patio. Enjoy the great pizza. Some entertainment as well when you're here. It's Uncle Matteo's Pizza on Euclid Avenue here in Lexington. All right, as we were coming out of the commercial break, you heard the call. Larry Colmus with the call of King Creesa winning the Forbidden Apple Stakes last year. King Creesa back in action on Monday in a huge New York bred day at Belmont Park. You're going to hear those races 3 to 6 Eastern on Express Bet Radio. Anthony Stabile will have that coverage for you coming up Monday afternoon. And Anthony is with us now. The Big A from the Big A. No, from Belmont. You're at Belmont today. What's up, man?
Just wrapped up breakfast at Belmont here at beautiful Belmont Park. And I went from eating breakfast to listen to you guys talk about making your own pizza and Jimmy John's. So you can just imagine the state of mind I'm in right now.
Oh, come on down. Love to have you.
Wait, I don't know if you would. There goes the prophets, as they say.
I have a feeling that the Big A has an entourage that follows him wherever he goes. And as long as they have a little cash, I'll take care of the rest. Not a problem. Especially Hey, Big A, especially after you lay on these winners, give me these winners for today and on Monday.
Hey, Big A, how many pizzas? All right, say a 12-inch pie. How many do you think that you could eat? In all seriousness,
I got a 12-inch pie stuck in my teeth as we speak, so I don't know about 12-inch pies. We do things bigger in New York, Baron. We're at 16 or 18-inch pies. I mean, on a good day. Well, we were in the cigar shop last night having a couple of sticks, watching my beloved Mets blow a 4-run lead, then get it back with a Granderson home run in the final inning. I polished off 3 chicken parmesan slices, but there's probably a chicken cutlet and a half on top of each slice. And I'm not telling you I could have had 2 more, but I'm not saying you I couldn't. I'm not telling you I couldn't have had 2 more. So
that sounds phenomenal. We got one eye on ESPN. Granderson's a Chicago guy and has done great things for UIC.
Yes, he has.
Went to college, and I was down there on some business in another industry a few months ago, and that baseball stadium that he's helped fund, and you open up the press box, the blind that covers the window, you open it up, and behind the center field wall is the downtown skyline of Chicago, and Curtis Granderson had a lot to do with that facility and donated lots of money, and I'm just happy that I just looked up as he hit that walk off. Do you think there are other people eating chicken parm pizza last night in New York City?
I know my boy Jai was sitting next to me. He just retired from the military, appropriate on this Memorial Day weekend, and we would ask hooting and hollering when that ball cleared the right field wall. And I'll be at Citi Field tonight. The 86 Mets having a reunion tonight, so the Big A will be getting a little rowdy this evening over in Flushing.
Big A, Anthony Stabile joining us from Belmont Park here on the Equine Forum. We mentioned that coverage coming up Monday afternoon, a special Monday edition of Express Bet Radio, 3 to 6 Eastern Time. You're going to hear all the New York bred stakes races, or at least the majority of them, in that 3 to 6 time frame. Anthony, we're going to talk about those in a moment. One thing I did want to mention very quickly before we get to that, got a text here a few moments ago from Alan Sherman, the trainer of California Chrome. He's listening to the show in California. He wanted to let people know that California Chrome worked like a beast this morning. He went the half in 48 seconds flat and pointing for the San Diego handicap. So a little bit of an update on the 2014 Horse of the Year. Big A, one question for you in particular, which doesn't pertain to New York Bred Day. Our poll question at HRN today is, how long will it be until we see another Triple Crown winner? And there's 4 different choices: less than 5 years, 5 to 10 years, 10 to 20 years, or more than 20 years. What's your thought on that poll question?
I'm going to say 5 to 10 years. I don't think it's going to be that quick. Because even if Nyquist would have won, I feel like the mile and a half would have been a real problem for him. It's funny. I've been good friends with Steve Haskins since I got involved in the industry, and Steve and I were pretty much in the same camp that it was going to take a horse that was meant to do this. And what I mean by that is a 2-year-old champion, a grade one winner at 2, a horse that looked like he was going to be able to handle. Now, I wasn't an American Pharoah fan, but he certainly was able to handle the rigors of the campaign. It takes a different kind of animal to get through it. And you need a lot of luck. I mean, I don't think anybody in that Pharoah camp would tell you they didn't have a great deal of luck along the way as well. So everything has to go so perfectly that I think it's going to take a few years before it happens again.
All right. Well, in case you're wondering, and by the way, you can vote on that poll question at HRN on Twitter. Less than 5 years is actually in the lead right now, with 42% of the votes going to that category. 5 to 10 years, the second choice at 36%. Then 10 to 20 years, and 9% of people are total pessimists, saying it's going to be more than 20 years until we see another Triple Crown.
They must be Cub fans.
yeah, they must be.
We're hurting, but we are on it now.
All right, Big A, about 5 minutes or so left here in this particular segment. Talk to me about what we're going to see coming up on Monday on that New York Bred Showcase Day at Belmont Park.
Well, like you said, Mike, we're going to have five of the six stakes races on Express Bet Radio. The only one we're going to miss is the commentator. And, you know, if we liken this to a Breeders' Cup kind of day, the commentator is pretty much the classic of the day. We only got a field of seven in the commentator. It'll go as race number three on the 10-race card. We'll have it for you on tape delay on Express Bet Radio. I think trainer David Jacobson has hired a tribe of Native Americans to start a rain dance for his I Love Lulu, as Jacobson will take on three Rudy Rodriguez runners. I Love Lulu, 6 for 7 on a wet track, 1 for 18 on a dry track. We're supposed to get some rain on Monday here in New York. A tropical depression off the East Coast right now, supposed to develop, drop an inch or so of rain up here. So if it comes up wet, I think I Love Lulu will be tough. If it doesn't come up wet, Rudy Rodriguez, like I said, has 3 of the 6 in here. Royal Posse's a multiple stakes winner against Open Company, back in with the Statebreds now. I think Royal Posse will be awful tough if the track is dry in the commentator.
It's a card that is a 10-race card, 6 stakes races on the program, all for New York breds. Going to be a great day of racing at Belmont Park, and again, that's Monday afternoon. Anybody else that stands out to you on that program, Anthony?
Yeah, another horse that's been running against Open Company in race 4, the Critical Eye, it goes off right after 3 o'clock, is Bar of Gold, and she's never lost to New York breds, a perfect 3 for 3. She's never won an Open Company race. So trainer John Kimmel, who's off to a fine start here at this Belmont Spring Summer Meet, is giving Bar of Gold a little class relief in the Critical Eye. It's a flat mile. She will take on fellow New York breds, her third start off a long layoff. She was third last time out to Paula Silver Lining and Cavorting. They both came back to win graded stakes in their subsequent starts, so she should take some beating. And, you know, the gang of cheers, a.k.a. the New York Red Turf Division, getting together in race 7, the Kingston will start the late pick 4. These guys get together every, you know, it's like they reconvene in the spring and they run against each other through the summer and fall, and then they part ways for the winter and get back together every year. It's pretty much like the gang of cheers. You got Carafa, you got King Creesa, you have Lubash. You have a couple of peripheral players, almost, you know, like horses with recurring roles, like Not a Cat But a Llama, and Iron Power. That's going to be a fun bunch. Again, I think a lot depends on the weather. If it comes up wet, Carafa going to be awful tough for Timmy Hills. If it comes up dry, any of them can win it. I usually let the tote board make the final decision for me on a dry turf. But when it comes up wet, Carafa is the one you give an extra look to. He's got a race under his belt from a November layoff against Open Company, against horses like A Lot and Green Mask. They set the course record in that 7-furlong elusive quality. He was beaten just 5 lengths. So Carafa, especially if it comes up wet, should be awfully tough in the Kingston. But you just look forward to the whole day. We have 3 New York Red days here now. We cover them all exclusively on HRRN. Next one is the day before the Travers in August. And then, of course, the traditional one, the one that really started these special days for, in my opinion, the best state bred program in the country. That one's in late October, right before the Breeders' Cup.
Anthony, next Saturday, you're going to make the trip to Penn National. You'll join me there for our exclusive coverage of the Grade 3 Penn Mile next Saturday night. 6 to 8 Eastern is our broadcast time for the Penn Mile. Of course, we'll have this show, the Equine Forum, live from Penn as well. We'll be joined by several special guests to talk about those races. Going to see Catch a Glimpse. At least it's likely that we'll see Catch a Glimpse, the filly, take on the boys in that Grade 3 Penn Mile. That should be one tremendous horse race.
Yeah, she's one of my favorite horses in training, and this is the one thing, one of the things I love about working with the HRRN family is I can disguise a trip to nearby Hershey, Pennsylvania as a work weekend. Yeah, I'm coming for the Equine Forum and the Penn Mile, Mike. That's exactly what I'm coming for when I'll
You're
be 11,
for the chocolate,
11
man.
Miles. I'll be 11 miles from the sweetest place on earth, but yeah, I'm coming for the Penn Mile and the Equine Forum. You got it.
All right, the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Catch him Monday afternoon, 3 to 6 Eastern, a special Monday edition of Express Bet Radio and all those New York bread stakes from Belmont. They're all there for you, 3 to 6 Eastern, Sirius 220, XM 206, and streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. Big A, appreciate it, my friend, and we'll catch you Monday, and then we'll catch you next week.
You got a split a pie for me today, guys.
Split
we'll
one. Yeah, right. Split one. Poor Big A. So delusional.
He's the man. Tough life. I'd love to be his buddies.
Yeah, yeah. Very busy show, my friend. I want to thank you for everything.
Are we done?
You've done. We're about ready to wrap it
Are
up.
Are we through this? I thought this was the first break.
This is about it.
Oh, man. What a great morning. Thanks for having us. Thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, come on out. Uncle Matteo's Pizza, Euclid Marquee.
Ben Lacey. Ben Lacey on the patio Sunday night, 6 to 9.
Don't miss him. He's tremendous.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, one of the best in the world. Absolutely tremendous. Our thanks to Dave Rodman for being here in the first half of the program. Eric Barlin from Tito's, Tracy Egan, and, of course, the Big A. If you missed any portion of this show, go to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast and check out a complete HRN schedule. All there for you, horseracingradio.net. Our thanks to our producers, Lee Della Pina in our Lexington studio, Chauncey, Sean C., on site with us here and handling all the social media. For Billy White, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next time. And by the way, go Steelers.